This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
5:03 in the big city. Don LaGreca flying solo here on the Michael K. Show. We're taking you up until 7:30 on 98.7 ESPN New York, leading into coverage of Knicks T-Wolves. Yes, we'll leave us at 7 o'clock. We've got an ENN coming up at 6, but here in the 5 o'clock hour, we welcome in one of the best in the business, Buster Olney. He joins us here on the Michael K. Show. It's Don LaGreca. Happy holidays, my friend. How are you?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You too, Don. I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm excited about, you know, hopefully having a baseball season at some point, and the Buck hire, which I was not on the air for, so I wanted to be able to give my two cents on it and talk to you because you had a great article on all the work the Mets have to do here to compete with the Braves and possibly win this division. But you know what I'm excited about, Buck Buster, more than it being Buck? It's an actual manager where I can actually critique his performance. I feel like that's been robbed from me. One of the things I love as a talk show host is to be able to say, why did they bunt? Why did they hit and run? Why did he take that pitcher out? I want to be able to criticize and compliment the manager instead of always having to talk about, well, that's the analytics and that's the way they do things. Am I right to be excited in that way about this hire?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think so. And also, and that's not to say that, you know, every manager who's driven by analytics doesn't give explanations. But if, you know, if you ever had a conversation with Buck or heard him in his postgame interviews, he'll be asked questions by reporters and he's happy to run through, okay, this is why I did this. This is what my thinking was here. And when he does that, you realize, and look, he's made mistakes. His Zach Britton decision famously in the playoff game, but Buck is, you know, he's thought through everything, right? And he'll give you the explanation for why he's doing things. And it's not only for you and I or for fans, it's also for the players. Like, I think there's going to be a real feeling among the players that when we get into a head-to-head matchup in a big series with the Braves, we're not going to be behind because we don't have the right strategic levers pulled.
Right.
I can't remember Don, like the last time I felt like a managerial hire was more obvious than this one. Like, this is clearly the guy. And I think the Mets knew that going into this process.
Now, it seems like it's being universally loved. And the only negative I guess people can bring up about the hire, Buster, is do they look at it as a negative that the Yankees won after he left? The Diamondbacks won after he left? The Rangers won after he left? Is there some kind of a Dusty Baker, Marty Schottenheimer kind of feel to him where he's the guy that can get you there, but he can't break the door down?
I don't think so. I understand why people ask that question, but I don't think it applies. First off, I think you'll agree with me on this. The context for each of those situations was different, right? You know, Buck clearly had a lot to do with building that core of Yankees. And, you know, unfortunately for him, the 94 season didn't play out. That might have been the year that he checked the box that the Yankees got to the World Series. You know, that could have been his championship. The Diamondbacks was a little bit different context. But also, Buck through the years has evolved. You know, the Buck as manager of the Orioles was so different than the way he was as a first-time manager with the Yankees. I remember talking to Yankee players when I first started covering that team. And yeah, they were unhappy with some of the things that Buck did. But by the time he got to the Orioles, I think that he had evolved and adapted, not only with the players, but also with the way that the game had shifted into analytics. That's one criticism that I've read of Buck, where people are like, well, he's old school. No, he's not. His entire career, he's been so good because he's open to information. He's open to new ideas. He asks questions. I'm sure when you've had conversations with him, you know, there are times when you'll say something and he'll say, hey, can you repeat that? Because he's making a note. Like he's constantly open to information, you know, but I understand why people ask the question.
Yeah, but I still think it's a home run for the Mets. But there's a lot of work to be done. You outlined it in your article. And I guess first and foremost, it's this, or at least on paper, the 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Scherzer look just amazing. But really, what can we expect innings-wise from both of these pitchers?
Well, and that's the – whenever the Mets are able to have conversations with Jacob DeGrom in particular, with Max Scherzer, they have to map out a plan. They have to figure out where he is physically. We still don't know exactly where he was at the end of the 2021 season. We had, you know, Sandy Alderson talk about a torn UCL, and then you had Jacob DeGrom denying that's the case. We don't know exactly where he's at, and I suspect until they ramp him up in his throwing program in January, early February, you won't really know for sure. Okay, how much progress is he making? The Mets aren't theoretically going to learn about that until after the labor situation is settled. But it's hard to imagine between the 2020 60-game season and the fact that he was only able to make 15 starts last year, it's hard to imagine him throwing more than 120 or 140 innings. Yeah. That might not necessarily be great for him in his career, but there's no way that they can just say, go ahead, you know, just throw every fifth day. And look, Max Scherzer's at the age where they're going to have to make choices of if we have 180 innings out of Max Scherzer, is it better to save a lot of those innings for the second half? When you talk to other people about the Mets, the front of their rotation, they say, yes, if those guys are healthy, it could be phenomenal. But there's also an expectation that, yeah, there are going to be issues along the way. We don't even know if Jacob DeGrom is going to pitch in 2022.
Right. But even if everything goes well, Buster, and they can give you 30-plus starts, doesn't mean they're going to go complete game nine innings every single night.
Exactly.
So they're going to have to get 9-12 outs on occasion out of this bullpen, a bullpen that's got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work. But here's the great thing. You know, it's clear that Steve Cohen has said, you know, competitive balance tax be damned, luxury tax be damned. We're going to spend. If they were to spend up to $300 million in payroll, I don't think it would shock anybody. And the area of the team, if you want to improve it once this the CBA is settled, the easiest area for any team to improve based on who's still unsigned as a free agent is in bullpen. And there's no better manager that I've seen in my time covering baseball in terms of putting together a bullpen and developing roles and building depth than Showalter. And I'm sure that Buck probably has already had a lot of conversations with Billy Epler about, hey, among the available free agents, who do we go after? The prices are going to be incredibly depressed. And that means that, you know, if you've got, let's say, a veteran relief pitcher who's being offered $2 million by a lot of teams, the Mets are in a position where they can use their financial strength and say, you know what, we'll give you $3 million. We won't, you know, we'll outbid everybody. And I think they're going to do that. And I think in the end, they're going to have an opportunity to build a great bullpen.
And where that comes in, that money, Buster, is not just the initial acquisition. It's being able to change on the fly. Because, you know, it's almost like drafting in the NFL or NBA. You don't know what you're getting with a pitcher. Just because he was great last year as out of the bullpen doesn't mean he's going to be good this year. So if you go out and sign somebody and he's a bust, if there's a season that starts in April, all right, by June, we'll scrap him, we'll bring somebody else in. That's something they couldn't do before.
And there's no area of a team in which that's true more than in the bullpen, right? We see these guys come in, they're flat. You know, Nick Anderson was the best reliever in baseball for a time of the Tampa Bay Rays, and then he got hurt, and we don't know if he's ever going to come back. And so if you have financial flexibility the way the Mets do, not only does that mean you're going to be able to dive in, build a lot of depth, and by the way, there's no doubt that once the gun goes off and you can start acquiring players again, adding left-handed pitching is going to be a big deal. Look for them to add a left-handed starter. Look for them to add left-handed relievers. They're going to build depth initially. And to your point, as they go along, if they have holes, Steve Cohen's going to, it's clear, he's going to green flag whatever the front office wants to do. Because, heck, once you're over the competitive balance tax, right, who cares if you're spending $290 or $310? You might as well go all in.
Yeah, might as well do what you have to do. Talking to Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, talking Mets after the hiring of Buck Showalter last week. His coaching staff, what are you hearing are some of the people that are going to be alongside him on the bench?
I've heard the names of people that they're talking to is dozens and dozens in length. They're going to use this, the fact that baseball is shut down, to really go through an in-depth process. You know, I can't tell you that I know, okay, these are definitely three guys that are going to be on the staff, but I think he's going to talk to potentially, you know, four, five, six dozen people. And maybe he's already had those conversations. And look, he knows a lot of people in the game. You know, when Brody Van Wagenen, you know, took over as general manager of the Mets, when Derek Jeter took over as general, you know, head of baseball ops for the Marlins, one of the issues that they ran into was that they didn't necessarily have a lot of contacts among people in the game. Well, Buck knows everybody.
Yeah.
And so Buck's going to talk to everybody, and he's going to wind up with a really good coaching staff. I am curious about Joey Cora, who is a longtime coach, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates third base coach. He's someone who, you know, knows Francisco Lindor from the past. They're both from Puerto Rico. And I do think that, you know, the coaching staff is going to be built in such a way to help try to improve the culture around that team. They feel like they did a good job of that with the free agents, Eduardo Escobar, Scherzer, Canna. And they're going to continue to try to do that with the coaching staff, bring in experienced coaches. I think that in the end, the Mets coaching staff, whatever its composition, is going to look a lot like the Atlanta Braves staff, Ron Washington, on down the line in terms of who they bring in.
You know, when you think about a coaching staff, you know, you've got your bench coach, you've got your third base coach, your hitting coach, your pitching coach. Those are the ones that kind of jump to mind as the most important. Is there one for you, Buster, that you just can't miss on?
Well, pitching coach to me, and the, you know, the fact that they have that in place, I think is a good thing for them. You know, the way I think hitting coach right now is probably the job that it's the worst job in baseball, because a lot of the individual hitters have their own coaches that they actually work with during the day. And so if you're the hitting coach of a major league team, the perception among some players is all you can do is screw up. Right? The personal hitting coach who's taking batting practice with the player at 11 o'clock in the morning sends the player to the ballpark. The player goes 0 for 4. Guess who's getting the blame? As Chili Davis learned, it's the guy who's in the major league, in the major league uniform. So I think that the hitting coaches are less relevant than they've ever been before, but I think the pitching coaches are more relevant than they've ever been before. You know, using the information to help these guys try to get better.
There's so much unknown about this upcoming season. When is it going to start? If it will start? But DH, is it a fait accompli the National League will have a DH, or is it still very much up in the air?
I would have told you it was a fait accompli. It was going to happen 2021, right?
Yeah.
And so I believe that, yes, if they actually get a collective bargaining agreement and it's 3 to 5 years, you would assume the two sides would be able to work that out, because everybody wants it. You know, the people, the team level want it. The Players Association wants it. You know, there are going to be veterans like Robinson Cano who would really benefit from it. But as we've seen, this relationship between these two sides is not, doesn't mean this necessarily a sure thing. I believe that they'll have it. I'm going to be really curious to see how the Mets handle it. Between Robinson Cano, Dominic Smith, Jeff McNeil, some of the choices they're going to make with the personnel with that roster.
Yeah, so let's talk about McNeil for a second. What role do you think he has on this 22 team, if at all?
And that's one of the items that I think as Buck gets into this job, he's going to be having conversations with people in the organization. Okay, where could he fit? You know, second base, I think the feeling was always, well, at second base, at the very least, you know, he can be average and he can go forward and he can hit. Well, he didn't hit last year and he's not very good defensively. And how was he in left field? And, you know, he's not 22 years old. He's not 23 years old. He's what, 28 years old. And so if you told me that the season started and either Dom Smith or Jeff McNeil or both of those guys had moved on, been dealt to another team, that would not shock me. I think that's going to be part of the evaluation that, you know, Billy and Buck that they're going to be going through is especially as they get ready for when the gun goes off and the Mets with available cash will have a lot of buy opportunities. You know, maybe there'll be people in the Mets organization existing who will go, look, Jeff McNeil, he's always hit. Look at 2021 as an outlier. But I think that they're very wide-eyed, open-minded to a lot of possibilities and how to deal with those two players.
I want to talk a little Yankees before we let you go, Buster. And, of course, the Yankee fan upset. They didn't make a big splash before the lockout. But logic tells you that if they're going to improve, it was probably going to be via trades than it would be free agency. Is that just a glass half full way to look at it, or did they miss the boat on some potential free agents?
I don't think they necessarily missed the boat because, look, there are a lot of good free agents still available. You know, in theory, Carlos Correa is still available to get a shortstop. Trevor Story is still available. And some of the agents believe that when the transaction period begins, that they'll be active on those two prime guys. Freddie Freeman is still available. The Mets have managed to turn that situation into a competition. So, you know, a team like the Yankees could jump in. And I would say this, not only about the Yankees, but also the Red Sox and the Dodgers, three big market teams that didn't make a lot of moves before we had the shutdown. I think those teams want to know what the rules are. You know, Steve Cohen clearly doesn't care where the competitive balance tax is. We've seen with the way that the Yankees have operated, Red Sox and Dodgers, they've zigged and zagged up and down over the CBT, above and lower than it in recent years. And I think they want to know what the rules are before they commit big dollars. But I do think that when the dust settles, 2022 season starts, that the Yankees will have made significant acquisitions, whether it's a trade for Matt Chapman with Oakland, because the Athletics are expected to clean house with all the expensive guys, whether it's a Matt Olson, whether it's signing Freddie Freeman, signing Trevor Story, I think is the more likely of the two shortstop that they would land. I think they're going to do something. But I think Hal wants to know what the rules are going to be before he commits a big contract.
Now, we use this analogy on the show all the time, Buster, that, you know, Coke doesn't worry about Pepsi. Pepsi worries about Coke. You know, same thing with McDonald's and Burger King, right? The Yankees are McDonald's. They're Coca-Cola. But with the Mets spending money and not worrying about the threshold, do the Yankees now have to rethink? Because there's major financial competition just 7 miles away, something they didn't have to worry about for the last 20 years. Does that adjust their thinking at all?
Don, I don't think it affects this year, but I think there's that chance that that scenario develops down the road. Absolutely. You know, there's a new sheriff in town for the Mets, right? For years and years and years, the Yankees didn't have to worry about any of the talk of they're cheap sticking. Well, you know what? If the Mets start the 2022 season, they have a $300 million payroll. And let's say I'm wrong. Let's say the Yankees don't invest a lot of money in players because maybe they're saving their ammunition for Aaron Judge. Yeah, it's going to be an easy column for somebody to write, you know, or fans to be upset, to call in, to say, what are the Yankees doing? I think the fact that Steve has gone in there, he's demonstrated he's willing to spend money, cost be damned, he's trying to win. I think it absolutely changes the context for the Yankees in how they're perceived. For years, the Mets were the cheap team. Well, guess what? If the Yankees don't spend and at least come within range of what the Mets are doing, Hal's going to be open to criticism along those lines.
Did the way Stanton played down the stretch kind of change the narrative of him possibly being moved, or were they still look to get rid of that contract?
I don't think they're going to. First off, it is interesting, that contract now, considering some of the other deals that have gone on, I think it looks more attractive. You know, a year ago, I might have said, look, that's an unmovable contract. It's not anymore. But I think that they really like him. They actually, I think within the organization, he became more admired for how he handled, got through 2021. Right. And the fact that he was on the field. And let's face it, Francisco Lindor, with his struggles playing in New York, I think that helped. We were talking about context between the two teams. I think Lindor struggles really helped Stanton because it reinforced the perception within the Yankee organization. This is a really good player, and he's a tough guy who's navigated the toughest waters of coming to New York as a superstar, dropping in from the outside.
But with Stanton, with Cole, and possibly signing another big free agent when we come out of this lockout, will there be any money for Judge?
If I were to guess, I think they'll wind up with one of the Oakland guys. Like, I think that, you know, Matt Chapman, for example, maybe you acquire him to be the one-year shortstop. I know he's a third baseman. He's exceptional. But if you added Matt Chapman, you would be improving your defense on the left side of the infield. And I know the Yankees have talked a little bit about this internally. Look, can Matt Chapman play shortstop? You know, I think they wind up with one of those guys. Maybe it's Olson. And then they hold back and they pay Aaron Judge. I think he also, like Stanton, proved a lot to them last year. Because the question for idiots like me the last few years was, can this guy stay on the field? Last year he did.
Buster, I want you to have a tremendous new year. Thank you so much for giving us the time here today. And hopefully the next time I talk to you is that you're breaking that they have a deal and we've got baseball. How about that?
Oh, Don, that would be the greatest present in the new year. And same to you. I always love talking with you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.